Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, I am so glad that you're back for another dose of economic development and leadership insight. Today, Carla Soans talks with Adam Hess, who is the Industrial Development Manager at CSX Rail. Adam's joy for his work really shines through throughout the whole conversation, and he dives into the intricacies of rail and how the ramifications of the pandemic are shaping changes in the industry. Adam has some really great insights on teamwork and why he gets so energized by seeing something go from vision to reality. So let's tune in and go over to Carla and Adam.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Soans, and I am here today with Adam Hess, who has quite an interesting background. And for economic developers, he's sitting in an organization where he is focused on railways, which I think is really fascinating. And I want to dive in there, Adam, and have you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your journey into economic development. And certainly what led you to your current role where you're really serving that in kind of a niche market.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Carla. I think, you know, my entrance into working for the railroads started a long time ago when I was working on a steam locomotive operations down in Durango, Colorado, and had no idea that at some point it would come back around and turn into a career. And so it's been an interesting road through real estate development and sales positions to be here today and working in the economic development world for CSX. And my role with CSX, I do the industrial development for a four-state region, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, which allows me to interact with a lot of fantastic communities. And I do my best to try and align with their goals in achieving the right growth and attracting the right manufacturing projects that interact with the CSX Railroad.
So talk a little bit more about, I think some of us who are a little bit more familiar with sites that have rail are a little bit more, have worked more closely with you or other of your counterparts in other places in the country. But for those economic developers who may not have worked with the rail company as intense as others, what's that process like? Are you usually like, do you usually have a prospect that you're looking at sites with, or is it more of the opposite on the land development side where economic developers are calling you and saying like, hey, we have this site. Is that a possibility to have rail here? Or what sites do you know of that are rail served? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so it's a mix of everything. You know, some companies will use the rail as the starting point because they know the importance of finding the right location based on their commodity flows coming in and out of a facility. And so there's times where I find myself as the point person. There's other times that, you know, projects take different paths through consultants and brokers and states and Ritos and Litos. And I try to keep my networking at the broadest as I possibly can. And I would say that the most important thing is to keep us involved early. The operating plan for the railroad, it's a fluid environment. So 1 month I may say, you know, one thing about a service to an area, but the operating plan may change. And then the next month I have to say something different. And so keeping in touch with all of those people and being as accessible as possible, I think is very important because that first conversation can guide a project in the right direction or scare it away. And so I do my best to make sure that all the communities that I'm interacting with have the most up-to-date information of how our capabilities can be an asset to the projects that they're looking at.
So speaking of kind of just how fast things are changing, I'm curious to know how the pandemic has impacted rail, because we hear from everywhere that logistics and just the transportation system is just like going crazy right now with everybody trying to figure out how to get things here, there, and everywhere with multiple different ports being behind and just there's not enough truck drivers. I mean, you name it, it feels like there's like disruption everywhere. How have you been impacted in terms of rail? Like, are you seeing an uptick in people using rail to move goods around the country, or what's kind of been your impact related to the pandemic?
So we've seen, I think, negative and positive. You know, during the pandemic, we watched large companies shut down that were our largest companies. So, you know, the movements of steel to produce automobiles, you know, that had a daisy chain effect on slowing us down. And then as we were coming out of the pandemic, we saw a dramatic shift of trying to, you know, the consumer shift happened. And that's when we saw things change in our world, where now packaging projects are very prevalent in the plastic space, also in the paper space for corrugated boxes. And so we're seeing the marketplace change right in front of our eyes, and we're doing the best that we can to make sure that, you know, those facilities find the best spots on our system so that they can have efficient supply chains to adapt to this new world.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I hadn't really thought about all of the boxes, and I should have, because we have a lot of boxes here as one of our industries. But I hadn't really thought about just that shift of how many more people are getting things shipped to their homes and just the uptick of needing boxes. You know,
it's changed. It's
yeah.
You know, I think it was naturally happening, right? I think, you know, Amazon is the word that everybody uses, and they're changing the model. But I think the pandemic forced it to be reached out into the outskirts of the market. And a lot of people had to adapt faster than they thought they had to.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to change forever now.
Yep. I think that's one of the interesting things about the pandemic is that, you know, a lot of these trends we were already talking about them, like, but they were just on the horizon. And the pandemic feels like it just accelerated a lot of trends that people were talking about, but it just was like, all of a sudden it was like, instead of going like 45, we were all of a sudden going like 90 down the highway, you know? So yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about your training and skills, because you, on the onset, you were really talking about how important it was in your role to really network, like to have that network and to build relationships. What are some of the other skills that you feel are necessary for economic developers right now, or really essential for you as in your role within the railroad?
Yeah. The skills for the, on the economic development side, you know, there's a couple different components. I think, you know, the financial analysis for some of these projects to ensure that they're viable, to ensure that they're the right decision for a community is very, very important. There's a dynamic mix between, the utilities, which, you know, the railroads would fall within, and how those projects fit, you know, within that existing community today. And so just the analysis of a project, and maybe even call it like a dating period as everybody gets to know each other. So now all of a sudden you turn from, you know, maybe a financial analysis to rapport building and relationship building, and making sure that, you know, the personality and company culture fits and aligns with what the overall community is trying to achieve is very important and essential for the future growth, to set the tone the right way to continue moving forward in future projects.
Yeah, I like that you called that the date, a little dating period where we can just get to know each other. I think that's really, really interesting. So let's talk a little bit about mentors, because you were talking about, you know, first introduction into the rail line was way back in Denver, you know, a steam engine. So what role have mentors played as your career has kind of unfolded before you and you've had these opportunities to grow and to try new things? Like, who have been your mentors, and how have mentors maybe helped you as you've continued to evolve your career?
Yeah. One of my first mentors, and still a mentor today, is, you know, my first basketball coach in college. And, you know, just establishing the foundation for, you know, kind of who I was as an athlete and a student and I still value a lot of things that I learned from him today, whether it was on the court or, you know, sitting in his office just talking about life. And so there was a value in that that, you know, really set a very good foundation for me that, you know, work hard and good things will happen and always, you know, kind of treat people as best as possible. And so, you know, that kind of established my foundation moving forward. You know, from there, I've had so many different jobs and so many different opportunities to have maybe brief mentorships in people. And I look back on it and some have been good and positive, and others have, it's been interesting to me of, well, I've learned not what to do, mm-hmm. you know, because of that. And I think the mentorship is not clearly defined, but at the same time, we're always looking for it and can find it in different ways.
Yeah, I love that you kind of highlighted, you learn like what you don't want to do and kind of what you do want to do. And I think that's important to have people in our life that can show us different styles and different ways of doing things. So there's a lot of people that are successful, but you don't necessarily, it doesn't fit your style, or you don't want to be, you don't want to, that's not your role model, like who you aspire to be.
I think it's important to have that. Right? It's about the how, being true to yourself. And mm-hmm. you know, I'm unique and you're unique. And so everyone's going to have a different path. And so, you know, learning the positives and the negatives is so critical for everybody. You know, as long as you take away something, you know, I think that's the most important message to have.
So let's talk a little bit about how you are continuing to evolve and to develop your skills in economic development, or just your leadership in general. Like, how are you investing in kind of Adam, like what do you do to kind of re-pour into yourself, either through like learning or like, are there leadership podcasts you listen to or economic development related trainings that you feel like are a must do for other people? Like, what are your kind of go-tos for your own self-development?
Yeah. You know, so I'll always go back to where I'm probably most comfortable in that is basketball. And so, you know, I'm always picking up a good book about, you know, historical basketball and the coaches that are writing kind of the latest books. And so I've always been the biggest John Wooden fan, read all of their books, read of all of his books, and really like to understand more about that whenever any opportunity that I can. And then there's trees of people involved with that, you know, with him historically. And so, you know, following them and trying to get as much exposure to what other people have learned from being around him is very important to me. You know, the other thing of it, you mentioned podcasts. And so it's picking up on, you know, like the Freakonomics podcast or, you know, the latest trends that are going on. You know, it was interesting. I was having a conversation earlier today that it was almost like a lot of our role is just sharing nuggets of information. And that sharing is so critical. And we're all trying to help each other out. And so in one form or another, it's a little kind of micro version of the podcast, right? Of like, here's what I learned today. And so that's very important for us to be successful.
Yeah, I love that. So I have to ask, because you're kind of sitting in Big Ten country and we've got the tournament coming up this weekend for basketball. So who do you cheer for? Are you a Big Ten, or is there a team in the Big Ten, or are you supporting another? Who's your go-to basketball team?
You know, so I grew up in California. So, and by the first college team that I always rooted for is Cal. And that's just being a Bay Area kid. After that, it's really just, you know, following people that I'm fans of, right? So, you know, from a Big Ten aspect, you know, be pulling a little bit for Purdue because it's probably closest to where I live today, and, you know, see a lot of the Purdue support in the area. So, you know, that's exciting to watch them have the ability to play in the tournament, and hopefully they do really well.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, perfect. Well, we live in Michigan, so we had an interesting weekend because Michigan and Michigan State played twice and they each won one. So we'll see where they end up in the tournament.
It's going to be a great year for Michigan basketball. Yeah. They're on their way up, and it was good to see Michigan State even it out.
Yes. Yep. And I live in a house divided. So I had half of my family happy one day and another half happy the other. So
man,
you know, for me, it was perfect. Everybody got to win. Okay. One final question. And then I know we'll let you get back to your work, your hard work, but I want to hear a little bit more from you about just your excitement for economic development. You've been doing this for a little while. You've kind of taken several, as you said, you did real estate around this. You kind of hit this on multiple different angles and now are sitting here in really like an economic development role in its truest sense. What gets you excited about this work and what keeps you coming back for more? Like what makes you love economic development?
You know, the people that are around me, it's a kind environment and everybody wants to do the best that they can. And there's a greater picture involved with aligning with these communities and watching them grow. And it's so exciting to watch something kind of cradle to grave happen where you see a community get behind an economic development organization with a vision. And this is the path that they want to go. And when it's rail centric, I'm excited to be a part of it. And then to see them get their first project and then to benefit from that first project and then consider and grow and grow and grow again. And then all of the things that happen outside of the rail world that I'm involved in, you know, you go back and you visit that community and there's a new restaurant or a new hotel or a new, and you realize that, wow, all of that spurred off of, you know, that first vision of what direction they wanted to go. And so that long-term effect is fantastic. And I enjoy that. I enjoy participating in it. And everybody gets behind those groups. And it's a fantastic kind of world for me to be in and enjoy it thoroughly.
Yes. Well, I love that. And I love the people too. So that was just a great answer because it is all about the people and the vision. And just seeing things kind of come alive in that vision and to see communities change is just, it's so cool. It's just such a cool journey. So, well, Adam, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. We really appreciated your time and your interview and just had a great time chatting with you today. So thank you for being one of our guests.
Carla, thank you very much. All the best to you in the future.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.